Creator, great spirit, you who are as expansive as the cosmos, as personal and as near to me as the vein in my neck, allow me to be an instrument in your hands, remove my ego, and allow inspiration, your inspiration, to be channeled. And so it is. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I learned that actually from Sheikh Mohammed Safayet, the mosque that we are actually is our partner in Sacred Journey Interfaith Seminary. And I loved, right before he got up and he did his sermon, he did that prayer. And it centered him and it declared that this isn't from him, that it is from the divine source. And also he said in his prayer that it was a channel and a way for him to be reminded of the universal truth. So when I share a teaching or do a message, it's really about me reminding me of what this universal truth is. And so happy Mother's Day to everyone. And I thought that I would share a little bit of what I know, a little bit of maybe some inspiration and teaching around mother as God as mother. When we hear all the time in our growing up, I was raised Catholic in this embodiment, God as father is like totally known. Yes? Right? We identify when we think about God, we think about this masculine energy, this entity that has a lot of masculine attributes and masculine qualities, if not even masculine optics, masculine imagery, right? So God the Father with a beard, the white guy in the sky, you know, Santa Claus-ish, Wizard of Oz-ish, you know, right? But we know that God has no gender. We know that divine source, divine intelligence, this source of all that is, this one without the second, this vast as the ether, infinite eternal being is genderless. And yet, we continue to hear about it, read about it, teach it in our catechism, especially the Abrahamic traditions. God is Father. So I thought I would share a little bit of insight. There's kind of like a three-parter to this. The first is sort of an interfaith perspective, an interfaith lens, if you will, of God as mother, God as feminine, the feminine attributes, the feminine qualities of the source of all that is, through the lens of all these different traditions. And then I want to center really on the attributes and the qualities of these things, and how we can imbue those into our own life, how we can actually be the face of God as mother here on earth. And then I'll end with a little Hindu cute little story. So in the Islamic tradition, one of the first things that is said is in the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, right? Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The tenderness of God. It's the feminine aspect of God. In the Hebrew, Shekhinah. Shekhinah is the spirit, the feminine spirit of God. In the Tao tradition, we hear the mother of 10,000 things. That's what you are, the mother of 10,000 things. All that has been created. Gaia, the ancestral mother of all life. Pachamama, right? From the Andes teaching, the indigenous people of the Andes, known as the Earth Time Mother. Grandmother Moon, we hear in the native traditions. The leader of feminine life. And she teaches us about the intuitive, introspective side of all that is. Of everything that permeates in and around and through us. Blessed Mother Mary. In fact, May in the Catholic tradition is the May crowning. May is Mary's month, the Virgin Mother, right? The Blessed Mother. That was a confirmation. Bing. Yes, that was Exactly right. That's right. That's right. The Divine Mother is seen in the goddesses in the Hindu tradition of Durga riding on this lion, or sometimes depicted on a gigantic tiger, right? Durga, Mother Durga, Kali. These are the destroyers, the energy of destroying, mother destroying. You're like, what do you mean, mother destroying? Well, everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so the creation, of course, is Saraswati, divine intelligence, creating everything we see. And Lakshmi, I'm sure you've heard of Lakshmi, goddess Lakshmi, is all about treasures. But not just the treasures in the physical realm. Not just the treasures of material in the physical aspect or in our practical apparent reality. Although, yes, Lakshmi, please bring us that which can help sustain us. Right? Because, you know, hey, listen, when we're worried about what we can eat and what we can drink, it makes it difficult for us to concentrate on our spiritual treasures. So we ask for the manna from heaven. We ask for the quail. We ask for Lakshmi to bless us with treasures in the physical realm. Also in our health, we say if we don't have our health, we have nothing. How many of you have chronic pain or know people who have chronic pain? So we ask for Lakshmi to bless that. We call upon and invoke Lakshmi energy to bless in the physical realm, which is our well-being, our health. And Lakshmi for spiritual treasures. So are we not blessed to be in this setting now, in this sacred space here at Metaphysical Chapel? Yes? Lakshmi has blessed us also in the spiritual realm with what a beautiful contribution. Where did he go? Where did he go?
Sitting in the congregation.
Is he not amazing, this drummer? Wow, and what an amazing, beautiful song. So when we have our talent, we thank Lakshmi for that talent. Thank you, Lakshmi. Lakshmi energy. And of course, Saraswati, divine knowledge, divine intelligence, that intuitive. Where do we get our mediumship from? We don't get that from something that we study, although I understand that Reverend Vito has an amazing class that you could actually attend. But this, let's not be confused that these gifts are not coming from us. These gifts come from Lakshmi, right? And when I say Lakshmi, that's just, you know, there's this beautiful, Thich Nhat Hanh has this beautiful nun, Buddhist nun, that talks about, you know, you say hat, I say chapeau, you know. What is the difference in the names? All of these names, all of these traditions, I feel like as an interfaith minister, I'm really just a translator. I'm a theological translator. Helping us to understand that we're all talking about the same thing.
Yep.
When you look through your photos of your family, we're talking about photos and being able to draw these images of our ancestors who have passed on, have they not been seen and manifested in different forms over their lifetime? Is my grandmother, Marie, nicknamed Chell, Granny, hi, was she not a little girl? Then was she not an adolescent? Then was she not an older adult? Then was she not in her old age? All the same person, yes? And that's her now calling as well. Thank you, Granny, for acknowledging that you hear me. And I honor you, as I honor my mother. All of these different images or poses or pictures are the same source of all that is in different aspects. God is mother. God is father. The Holy Spirit. You've mentioned the Holy Spirit before. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach. Did I say it right?
Yes.
And that is feminine. In Syriac Aramaic, the word spirit comes from the feminine word rukha, means spirit. So feminine, Holy Spirit, feminine, right? And all of these qualities, I mean, we could go on and on, but let's just center on the qualities. And I've been into this, we had a Sufi elective at our Sacred Journey Interfaith Seminary, which is in Wilton Manors. It's the only interfaith seminary of its kind in Southeast United States, which is a pretty big deal. It's an on-ground, in-person only, we call it Reverend Lori Cardona, the co-founder with me, and I was going to say co-dean, but that sounds like co-dean. Co-director and also deans. We are the deans and the directors. We had an amazing elective the other couple of weeks ago on Sufism. And I've been immersing myself into the divine names of Allah, the 99 names of Allah. And I said earlier, when I said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the most compassionate, the most merciful. Is that not feminine, a feminine quality, right? I'll give you another one. Al-Ghafur, the all-forgiving. You know, whatever our upbringing is, or whatever we see imagery when we look at either the news or we look at movies or television or whatever it is, you know, we see father as leader, stern, the provider. Yes? Kind of qualities. But the mother we see as the forgiving, the tender, the mediator. Al-Mukit, the nourisher. Do we not see women and mothers as nourishers? Al-Wadud, the loving. These are all the qualities of the divine. So then I thought, well, are we not the face of God? Yes?
Yes.
No doubt. We are instruments in the hands of Krishna, hands of the divine. So let's close our eyes for a minute and let's ask for this all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, infinite, eternal, one without the second, source of all that is, where no problem is bigger than this infinite intelligence, to give us the qualities of nourisher, to be nourishers for each other, to be nurturers to each other, to be loving, compassionate, kind, tender creators, to go into the world and to be the instrument in the hands of the divine. And as we open our eyes, we declare and know that all we have to do is ask, and we will be given that which we ask for. So I know for me, I want to be more patient. I want to be more kind. I want to be more loving. I want to be more tender. I want to be more nurturing, and not just to the people who don't annoy me. I want to be able to do that without discrimination. In all ways, always. So I'm going to close with this beautiful Hindu story. And it's a story about a mother sparrow. I think it's an appropriate Mother's Day Hindu story. I wish the kids were here for this. So there was this mother sparrow. And she had her eggs. She laid her eggs into the what she did not or was not aware of as the ocean. But the tide had gone out. And so she laid her eggs in this spot where she thought it was safe. And then the tide came in. Isn't it just like life on life's terms? Just when you thought you created something, and then it's just like, somebody moved my cheese. Did you ever read that book? So here comes the tide. The tide comes in and the water covers the eggs. The mother sparrow is beside herself. How many of you are mothers again? So would you not be upset if something happened to your eggs? So she pleads with the ocean. Do we not do this? Do we not plead with life? No, we don't want that to happen. No, I don't want to be fired. No, I don't want to lose this person in my life. No, I don't want to lose my house. No, I don't want this terminal illness, right? Don't we do that? We do that with life. We plead with the ocean, please, go back. The ocean didn't do it. Life on life's terms, life, practical reality, this apparent reality, it's not a trick. It's not God messing with us. It's life. It's karma. Things are happening. There's free will. There's lots of things at play. So the ocean doesn't go back. And the sparrow is crying. Mother sparrow. And she takes this blade of grass and she says, well, I'll be damned. Sorry, I said damn in church. Get the iced tea ready. She says, well, I'll be darned. She says, I'm gonna remove this ocean one drop at a time. And she takes the blade of grass and she dips it and she flings the drop. And she keeps doing that because she thinks she's going to remove the ocean. Isn't that like us? We try to manipulate and justify and rationalize, and we try to control stuff all around us until we're exhausted. And there's the mother sparrow. She's exhausted. But her love of those eggs, man, she's like not stopping. She's just trying to get that ocean away from those eggs. So then finally, she cries out in recovery. This is a step two and a step three. Coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Yeah, and then making a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand God. So what does she do? She goes, God, help me. God, help me. I can't do it without you. And suddenly Garuda comes in. Garuda, G-A-R-U-D-A, this gigantic, amazing bird that is actually the vehicle of Vishnu. Long story, I'll tell you later, but anyway, it is his Uber, it's his ride, it's Vishnu's ride, comes in and says to the mother sparrow, why are you crying? What is the matter? And the mother sparrow says, I just can't do it, I just can't take it anymore. My eggs are gone and I've been trying to do my self-effort, my part. Because we have to take action, right? In karma, and when we talk about the law of karma, we have to take action. We can't just sit around and through osmosis we think we're going to get divine grace. No, we have to take action through service, through whatever. So Garuda says to her, here's what you got to do. I'm just going to give you a mantra. You say this mantra, and you keep repeating the divine names of God. You just keep doing that. And you keep doing this. She's like, should I still do the blade thing with the grass? And because it seems like it's going nowhere. And Garuda says to her, yes. You continue your self-effort plus the divine names of God. And so she says, okay, I'm going to do it. So she starts doing the divine names of God in her mantra. And she's doing it. And she's saying God's name. And she's doing the blade of grass and the drops of water, and she's doing God's name and she's saying God's name. And Garuda says, okay, my job is done here. So he takes off and takes the ocean with him. And there's the eggs. Moral of the story, we cannot forget the divine names. We must invoke these names. We must continue in our self-effort, and then we allow divine grace to come in, and magic happens.